What I'd like to do today is just go through some things in the scripture relating to the truth concerning you. Jesus is God's truth concerning you. So you never need to know yourself or understand yourself before the Father based on yourself. You know yourself and understand yourself before the Father based on Jesus. You are in Him. He is in you. That's the great mystery. Christ is in you, and you've discovered the beauty of the Lamb of God, and now His life can be manifested through us. And this is the beauty of believing. You know, this weekend is called Labor Day, and it's a great holiday because we get an extended weekend. How many believe in extended weekends? I love them. Every time one comes around, I say, glory, glory. I want to raise a hallelujah. You know, it's just wonderful to get a day off. And, you know, this one celebrates labor. It celebrates work. It celebrates, you know, the American initiative and ingenuity and the unions and the people that protect people in their work. And all that's very, very, very important. But always remember that work is merit-based. Work is merit-based. In other words, your job that you have, the job that I have, usually is dependent on an outcome of some kind. In other words, we produce, right, to get a paycheck, so to speak. And we celebrate that, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's good, and everybody should get a job, and you should excel, and you should have dreams, and you should create jobs for people. If you have that kind of gifting, it's very, very important. But the tricky part of it is when you take the mindset of labor into your relationship with the Father and think that your relationship with the Father is dependent on your work or your labor. And we all know this thing that we have in Christ is not based on us. It's based on Jesus. It's the work of one that qualifies everyone. And this is the beauty of understanding what God has done in Christ. In that psalm we read at the opening of the service, I want to highlight just a couple verses out of there because it really talks about the work of the one, and it's the work we rejoice in. So what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, it's a finished work. It's a completed work. In fact, it's a perfect work that perfects us. And that's hard for our flesh mind to understand, that we are perfected, we're complete in Him. But that's what the Bible teaches in the New Covenant. So we are as righteous as Jesus is. And you need to announce this to yourself because nobody else will tell you that truth, especially Monday through Saturday. You have to announce to yourself the beauty of the Lamb. So we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are as blameless as Jesus is. We are as holy as Jesus. Jesus is our holiness. He's our sanctification, the Bible says. As He is, so are we. And this is the beauty of believing. So this is marvelous in God's eyes. Let's make sure it's the beauty that's marvelous in our eyes too. Don't live your life disappointed, trying to work yourself into being approved of God or being approved for salvation, but rather by faith, let's just say, cool, we accept. Amen to it. And let's call His work good on our behalf. And this is the beauty. So this psalm that we read, Psalm 118, you can find it in your Bible. You should highlight it if you carry a Bible. If you have a digital Bible, highlight it in your digital Bible. But in Psalm 118, beginning in verse 22, it says this, "The stone which the builders rejected, Jesus, has become the chief cornerstone." Now this passage is repeated in the New Testament in a place or two. Verse 23, it says, "This was the Lord's doing." You know, there's a lot of people that always diminish the cross and the work of Jesus, and they want to debate with you about all kinds of things relating to it, and whether it was just a political hit job to take Him out based on whatever. But really, this was all God's plan, it says. This was the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. And this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I remember always singing that song growing up. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I always would get up and say, okay, the sun is risen. I need to be happy today. And I kind of use that verse in that context that, hey, I got a new day. I'm sucking air. I'm breathing. I'm still in my body. This is the day the Lord's made. So don't just be grumpy today. Be joyful today. And that's good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that kind of thinking and mindset. We should approach every day with that kind of joy. But The context of this passage is not talking about just the sun rising and it's a new day God's given. It's talking about the day when Jesus was hung on the cross and paid the price and was raised from. It's talking about the work of the one. So in context of these three verses, you understand that what God has done in Christ, it's the day the Lord made. This is when God worked and he finished the work. And it's so beautiful, and this is the beauty of what all of us have and what we can enter into. This is the day the Lord has made. This was all his work. It was all his labor. It's all his supply. I always tell people when they're talking to me about, when I'm speaking on grace and talking about that we've been pre-approved before the Father, you know, it messes with our human mind because we have no skin in the game. We don't bring our resume. You know, we got nothing to add to the beauty of the Lamb. We just accept our place in him. It's his work, and we're celebrating the Labor Day of Jesus Christ. And so this is the day the Lord has made. This is the work he has done. We're going to rejoice in what he's done. So on your worst natural day, you can have the best day if you'll change your thinking and shift your heart, shift your mind, shift your focus to the Lamb of God, who's done it all and done it all perfectly. So then people always ask, in fact, a number of pastors always say, well, then what do my people do? You know, everybody wants somebody to do something. Have you found that out in life? Everybody wants somebody to do something, and it's like it's an eternal motivation with people to get them to do something. I'm finding in my little life that I'm motivated when I'm absolutely intoxicated with the love of the Lamb. When I understand the beauty of the day the Lord has made, it's marvelous in my eyes. God has done a work for me in Christ Jesus. And I simply say yes to it, and I find my motivation in it. But many times people are always trying to get somebody to do something based on their effort and make them think they're going to find greater favor with the Father just by getting them to do more and more and more and whatever. And sometimes that can lead people into tremendous exhaustion. And so what is the work of the believer? What is it that we should do? Actually, we should just simply say thank you. We should just simply believe. We should just simply say, man, this is cool. We're going to trust you today, Jesus. This is the day you have made. I'm rejoicing. I'm going to be glad. See, that can be your motto for your week, this Labor Day week. You can say, Lord, this is the day. And when you think of it, you're thinking of the Lamb of God that you've made. Read those verses, those three verses in Psalms again and again. And this is marvelous in your eyes. It's marvelous in our eyes, too. This is the day you have made. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to simply rest. So our work is to rest. His work was to do something that's finished. Our work is to rest and call it good. This is the work of the believer, to rest in his love for you. And you'll find there, you find dreams, you find momentum, you find answers, you find wisdom. You find everything you need when you just rest in the beauty of the day the Lord's made. That the work of Jesus is enough, and it's enough for you. John's gospel, go there with me if you would please in your Bible. John chapter 6, verse 27 through verse 29. Jesus says this, he says, do not labor, do not work for the food that perishes. This is what most of us wake up and do, right? Every Monday morning we start a new week and we say, oh my goodness, I got to go to work this week. What are we laboring for? Well, we want to get paid, right? And all of us want to get paid a little more. Nothing wrong with that. Keep believing God for revenue streams and all this. Why? Because we're laboring for meat that perishes. We got to pay the rent, don't we? We got to pay the mortgage. We got to pay the bills. We got to pay this. We got to pay that. Listen, trust me. I suffer the same way with you. I'm housed in this natural body. And every week, I'm thinking about, oh my goodness, what do I do? How do I keep this going and that going and whatever going? So we're all natural like that. And that's not to demean any of us. This is just where our minds are attracted to in the merit system. How can we make this thing work? So Jesus said, don't labor for the food or the things which perish, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. Jesus gives you everything you're going to need because God the Father has set his seal on him. Verse 28, then they said to him, what shall we do? What shall we do? Everybody wants to know what they can do. What shall we do that we can work the works of God. Everybody wants some labor involved. They want to work. But Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Jesus, whom he sent. And so again, it's just resting. This is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm just going to trust him for everything. I'm going to let my mind be renewed to the beauty of what he's done for me. Our natural labor, of course, is important, but it's not the focus of our identity. You know, I mean, I this morning before I came here to the Life Center, I stopped over at the Mission Center building, and there's three churches that use the Mission Center building. Here in the Life Center, there's five churches that utilize this space. Did you know that throughout the week? There's three churches that use this great space on Sunday morning, on Sunday. And then there's two other churches that use other areas of the campus. So five churches meet in this campus, you know. And so I was over at the other place and space before I got here earlier today. And you know what I was doing? I was cleaning things. I saw things I didn't like, and it bugged me, huh? So you know who cleaned it? You know who did all the dirty work in the bathrooms and everything else? The brother who's preaching here, huh? So I understand work's important. But our identity is not in our work. I like to chip in. I like to help. I think all that's very important. But my identity is not in what I do. I was looking on Facebook, you know, because school started this week and people are posting pictures of back to school. And our granddaughters went to school this week. And it's fun. And I was there on their first day and took some pictures and these kind of things. But I saw, you know, you ask these little kids what they want to be in life. You know, they want to be a fireman, they want to be a policeman, they want to be whatever, you know, a lawyer, a doctor. I remember when I was coaching high school sports, when Josh, our pastor, was in high school for 4 years, I took time off my life, and I was a basketball coach. And so I would just be gone on weekends, but I'd stop international ministry just to be with the team. You know, it was a big commitment, but it was a great season and time to do it. But I remember asking all the young people on my team. This is a junior varsity team, so this would be 9th and 10th grade kids. And they had a little paper to fill out just about them information. One of the questions was, what do you want to be when you grow up kind of thing? What you know, and probably 90% of them wanted to be an NBA basketball player. Isn't that wonderful? They all had great visions. But I looked at their dribbling and I looked at their shooting. And I said, God, we're going to need massive miracles to make these dreams come alive. This team needs some help, you know what I mean? But they had one of the greatest coaches. No, not really. We had a big time. But the beautiful thing is there's dreams, you know. And a lot of times people have their identity in their work and what they do. Don't let your identity be in what you do. Let your identity only be in what Jesus has done, the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. It's marvelous in my eyes. He's the stone that the builders rejected. Speaking of the cross, speaking of the resurrection, speaking of the finished work. The work of the one is my work. And this is the only thing that makes Keith Hershey happy deep in his soul, is the beauty of what Jesus has done. So our identity as believers is only in the work of Jesus in the day that the Lord has made. So we might as well be glad. You know how you smile? You smile by faith. You know how you have a little joy? You know how you have a spring in your step? By faith. You believe this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. And I'll be glad in it. If nobody else believes it in the neighborhood, if nobody else believes it where you work, you believe it. You'll find that the life of Jesus resident in you is attractive to people. And you're going to find people wanting help and hope because you're an exhibitor of the beauty of the Lamb. So sing a song of salvation. Sing a song of the beauty of Jesus, the work is done, and just say amen. So, you know, like the little song I was singing, this is the day the Lord has made, the Lord has made, I will rejoice. Sing, find a little song. I know that song's probably 50 years old, maybe none of you know it, but find a song of celebration speaking of the Lamb of God. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It really is. So our work is simply to rest. Our work in our earth system is to work. So don't go quit your job tomorrow. Our work in the earth system is to work. We contribute, we pitch in, we say thank God for it. But before the Father, our work is to rest. It's to rest. It's to know that all is well with our soul, all is well with our life, all is well with our physical well-being, all is well in our relational well-being, all is well with our kids, all is well with the generations of our family tree, all is well in Jesus' name. We can announce the news. Go with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Here's what the Bible says. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Aren't you glad there's a place and space that belongs to you? You know, if there's one thing I think people need in the body of Christ, and when I travel, and like I'm leaving this week, I'm going to be gone for three weeks or a little longer preaching around America. But you know what I find? Whether I'm overseas or whether I'm in America preaching, what I find is just the constant turmoil in the mindsets and hearts of believers. You know why? Because number one, they're listening to too much nonsense in this world system. They're too triggered into all the news and the gossip and the nonsense and the social medias. And I tell you, that stuff can trigger you and get you absolutely in a mindset that you're not rejoicing in the day the Lord's made. You've got to discern when your flesh should be, participants in these kind of things. And how much is enough and draw back. You've got to guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it, the Bible says, flow the forces and the issues of life. But there remains a place, there remains a space called rest for the people of God. You have a covenant right for rest and renewal. You're not to live your life ragged and dragging around and depressed and overwhelmed and full of fear. You need to rise up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. And think of the Lamb of God. Think of the beautiful passage in Psalms that we've read and say, glory, glory, hallelujah. I will rejoice today because Jesus is alive and well. And he's got me covered. So it says there, again, back in Hebrews 4, verse 9, there therefore remains a rest for the people of God. Verse 10, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. You know, you don't have to climb any higher. You don't have to get any closer. You're as close with God right now as you'll ever be if you're in him. I tell you what, you may not feel his presence the way you want to feel it, or you may not experience something, but you keep announcing this is the days the Lord made and put your trust in the finished work of Jesus, you're going to experience everything you will ever need, and you can do it from a point of rest. Every day you can delight yourself in his work and you can rest in it. Faith takes you there. Faith takes you to the place and to the space where there's rest. You can't get it apart from faith. Faith takes you there. And this is where you can say, glory, glory, hallelujah. Faith is your access to rest. It's the key. And the ceasing of the labor of your own work can stop. That constant thing that your mind, the voices of your mind give you, that you gotta be good enough, you gotta feel good enough, you gotta do enough. That kind of stuff will exhaust you, and your flesh will never be fully satisfied. The Bible says the eyes of man are never full. So why do you give your flesh a voice in the discernment of your righteousness with God? Just take the Lamb. Take the beauty of Jesus. Announce the news. And you're going to live in accordance with his character. Don't even give thought about it. You don't even have to try. You're just so enumerated with the beauty of the Lamb. You live in accordance with his character. And that, to me, is so beautiful. Look earlier in this chapter, Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 3. It says this. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, since a promise remains of entering his rest. Notice you have a promise, but you have to latch hold of it. Let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us all, as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that heard it. Remember, we were talking about earlier in the message what to do is just simply trust. Simply believe. Faith takes you to the space called rest. It says in verse 3, the first part of verse 3 says this, for we who have believed do enter rest. You know, just this week, there were moments in my life that I knew I was believing and had perfect peace. And there were moments this week when Keith Hershey, the gospel preacher, was a nervous wreck. And didn't live out a peaceful place, tried to fix everything, everyone, everything, and failed miserably at all my efforts. I failed miserably at all my efforts. But when Keith Hershey then recalibrates and gets his mind back on the day the Lord has made, that Jesus, the Lamb of God, did everything for me, I don't need to fix anything. I need to just cooperate with the wisdom he gives me in the time and say and do what he wants me to say and do, all is well. And sometimes you have to just draw back from things and wait for the place and space to say something. Sometimes you'll make better friends if you just know how to keep your mouth shut. I'm preaching real good now. Sometimes it's just good when you just draw back and hold still. And know when to breach a subject or a different thing. My wife Heidi and I were talking this week about a few things in my life in ministry with Mutual Faith and our work around the world and things. And there's some things that ticked me off. And a lot of times in the future, I would get rattled and irritated and say things that weren't helpful to the environment or the conversation. So I'm learning. See, all this gray here will show you that I'm getting older and I'm getting wiser. I'm learning to, at times, to be still and let people wrestle through whatever challenges and worldviews they have and find a different window of time to bring things up and discuss things. And whether that's for my little world of Mutual Faith or family life, your family life, my family life, with kids, spouses, whatever, there's a time to have the wisdom of God to know how to manage the place so we can enter into rest. Because I tell you, you try to fix things on your own, you're not going to find a restful place. You're going to find a raging war. And you've got to know how to really discern in the wisdom of God can show you that. So what God has done for you, what God has done for me in Christ is really beautiful. It's really powerful. It's redemptive. And it's everlasting. This is the day the Lord has made. The finished work of Jesus, he did it. He did it because he wanted to do it. It wasn't orchestrated by some world system that everybody can die. God planned it out, orchestrated it perfectly and beautifully to rescue you and me, all of us, everyone everywhere for that matter, if we can believe it, if we can receive it. What is so exciting about what he's done? Well, he's accepted us so we can accept him. You know, I used to always try to witness to people to try to get them to accept Jesus, you know. But nothing wrong with it. Don't misunderstand me. But what I like to tell people now, so they can accept him, I tell them he has already accepted you. In other words, if you got that idea that God has accepted you so you can accept him, now suddenly you don't believe God is really is a monster like your mindset or religion has taught you, that God's against you. God has accepted you from the new covenant position of this is the day the Lord has made. He has accepted you so you can accept him. He has received us so we can receive him. Think of that. You know, it's welcoming when somebody takes you in, huh? When somebody embraces you, especially if you don't have any, if you've not done anything to get there to qualify. But he's accepted us so we can accept him. He's received us so we can receive him. He believed in us, so we can believe in him. Think about this. God believes in you even stronger than you believe in him. This is what he believes about you in Christ. Because when Jesus was hung on the cross, the Bible says, God saw you there. You were crucified with Christ. It's astonishing. He believed in us, so we can believe in him. He loved us, so we can love him. So you don't have to even work at trying to love God and love God harder and love God. No, take yourself off the mindset of working and doing and trying. Just say, this is the day the Lord's made. He's loved me. I can love him. I can love him. He loves me. He accepted me. He believed in me. He received me. It's beautiful. He labored for me. He worked for me so I can work out his life. I rest and work out his life. It's a beautiful thing. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Here's what Paul tells the church. He says, therefore, my beloved, I love that phrase, my beloved, you should call yourself his beloved because this is the day the Lord has made. You can say that to yourself, whether you think you're a miserable wretch, you're his beloved one. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation. See, this is what we do. We just work out what's in us because we believe he did it all. He loaded us up. We work out the beauty of his life. We work out the fruit of the Spirit. It's not a work. It's a manifestation of just loving him because he loved us, accepting him because he accepted us, you know, receiving him because he received us. But he did everything first. Every part of our life is reciprocal. He loaded us up, so we just work it out. We just let it come forth. The gentleness, the kindness, the peace, the joy. It's present because we found that place to rest. Our labor is to rest. I rest in his love for me. So it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is how we work. This is how we labor. It's kind of like that song, this is how I fight my battles. You hear that song? This is how I might, you know, talking about worshiping. That's beautiful. Our fighting is just celebrating. This is the day the Lord's made. We're victorious because of the Lamb. We're victorious in our life. We're victorious in our physical bodies. We're victorious in our emotional realm that fights with us constantly with fear-filled thoughts full of fleshly, carnal nonsense. We rest in the work of Jesus, and this is how we labor. We exhibit the beauty of his life. We exhibit the beauty of his salvation. We convey the fruit of his life, the fruit of his Spirit. And we refuse to put any confidence in our flesh to fix ourselves or to fix anything. And like I say, if I'm trusting, if Keith Hershey's trusting in his labor, in his work to fix something, you know, I've learned now. I've been around long enough. I've learned that every effort of me to fix me has never worked. But every time I rest in the finished work of Jesus, Jesus seems to work on me and gives me whatever capacity and wisdom and disciplines, whatever it is, to have self-control. Hallelujah, which I still need many, many times in my life. But all these things, that's our work. It's just simply resting and letting his life be exhibited and conveyed through us and putting no confidence in the flesh. Paul talks about that, you know, having no confidence in the flesh. Have no confidence in the flesh. And when you can come to that place and space, you'll really, really be more comfortable with you because you can understand the beauty that Jesus is your everything. Our work is simply to believe that his work is enough. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it. I'll look back to see forward. My future is found in what he's done. It's absolutely beautiful. John 17, verse 4, Jesus is praying, and you know this verse very well. Jesus said, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you've given me to do. Jesus said, it's a done deal. He finished the work, and it's the work that was proclaimed and prophesied the day the Lord has made. Jesus did a completed work. John 19, verse 30 says this. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he's on the cross, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It's a finished work. You don't have to add to it. It's not Jesus plus your capacity to be good. It's not Jesus plus you knowing 17 Bible verses. It's not Jesus because you were nice and you, you know, helped somebody with some money. No, thank God, help people with money and be nice and learn Bible verses. But it's just Jesus. It's just the Lamb of God who's got you covered and his righteousness now belongs to you. Look at one other verse, and then we're going to have communion together. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Here's where you have an invitation. I love this verse. You know this verse very well. Jesus says, come to me, What an invitation. Come to me. All you who labor, all you who are work-oriented, all you who have heavy burdens, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't know about you, friend, but I need to hear that invitation every day, really. Because this guy sometimes starts off right, you know, and I take time and I'm being loved and I'm filling my heart with joy. But then things happen throughout the day and I can get my flesh very, very involved and have a worldview of the flesh that's very, very depressing, to be honest with you. And so I've got to always come to Jesus again and again. And I say, I've received the invitation. I come unto you and I give you the burdens, the challenges, the things I'm trying to fix that I can't seem to get fixed, the wisdom I need that I don't seem to have access to. Jesus, be my everything. And then find a place and space for joy, to be glad, because this is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it. Did you all like the scriptures today? Hallelujah. God's good. Amen.